Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. It's the internet's only college football podcast, but you already knew that. Oh, I mean, we have a crew tonight to discuss all kinds of stuff, right? We have, Jason Kirk in beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia. Hey, Jason, just for those listening for the first time, you're the college football editor at SB Nation, but tell them a little something about yourself that maybe the listeners don't know. I want everybody to sort of give a little nugget away to be like, you know, there's more to me than just these hot college football takes.
Wow, man, that's like the first day of vacation Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
Don't speak on your heart yet. We're not ready for that.
Okay. Oh, shit, man. Damn. I wasn't prepared to share. I have a gigantic baked potato in the fridge for... I'll probably eat it for breakfast tomorrow morning because I eat super early because I'm old. So I'll eat it for what normal humans would be breakfast. But for me, it would be lunch.
And thank you for sharing that extremely personal bit of information.
You're welcome.
Over here, and I'm gesturing to the north, we have Ryan Nanny joining us from Brooklyn, New York. Ryan, what's the one little special random fact you'd want like a new listener to understand about you? Not only that you can dish out, you know, college football opinions of scathing temperature, but that you're also a person.
I feel like I've talked about it on the show, but I immediately forget everything we talk about the minute we stop recording. You know what my only personal focus for 2018 is, right?
No.
It's to get better sleep. Like, all I focus on is outside of like... No. It should be. Fuck.
I was about to be in awe of your ad read skills if that were the case.
No. Yeah, I got a side hustle. I'm doing solo ad reads. Fuck y'all.
there aren't any internet mattress companies left, but we could make one.
You're doing the Rogue Roadrunner ad read, right? Like middle of the podcast, like my personal endorsement.
I think all but I'm probably up to like 8 nights so far this year. I have gone to bed by 11 o'clock.
That sounds so luxurious,
and it's fucking great. I have missed important sporting events. I have missed, other shit that people are staying up late to watch. But and it's old man as hell, and that's it. That's the whole thing that I'm doing in 2018 is trying to go to bed at or before 11 o'clock. As often as possible. And I'm living my best life. I still look terrible and I still feel terrible, but I'm living my best life.
I don't even have kids, and that sounds sumptuous as hell.
I know. Do you wake up in the morning like some smug bastard in like a coffee ad, right? In like a 2-piece pajama set, you know, with the sun beaming through, like, stretching, like.
Kind of, a little bit. I mean, the nice thing is if you have a child who randomly wakes up at 5:30 in the morning one day, but you went to bed at 11, like, you're prepared. You're kind of prepared. You still got 6.5 hours. You're ready to go.
Yeah, but you don't wake up like I do every morning, which are with these two words. Oh, God.
No. You have sons. We've talked about this. But no, this is the big takeaway from this. I am your most boring friend. Your most boring friend. To reiterate that, because it will probably come up in some form in this podcast. Never drugged. Never in my whole very long life at this point. Never drugged once. Such a disappointment. So boring.
Yeah, I really think you probably just reneged on your entire agreement to get a diploma from the University of Florida with that statement. But, you know, that's okay. We'll get you on some legal. You know, we will. The first time you do the pot, you're going to do it live on the podcast in legal state.
Oh, God.
You are. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Colorado, Washington, Nevada, or some other state that actually believes in freedom. We will get Ryan baked off his ass, and we will put him on the podcast.
Can I still be in bed by 11?
Yeah, no, you're going to be in bed by 11, whether you want to or not.
Oh,
we're
going to tuck you in like yes. A little burrito.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I know. You'll be. That's actually the reason that you'll enjoy doing marijuana. Your pillow is beyond your best friend, man. It's the infinity gauntlet. You're just putting your head out going, oh, the whole universe right here.
Hashtag nanny and nanny.
Nanny and nanny. We'll just tuck him in. What did you do for your podcast? It was weird. We got a dude high for the first time and we tucked him into his own bed.
I actually meant to say Nana and Nanny to imply that you were the Saint Bernard from Peter Pan.
I am the Saint Bernard from Peter Pan. But edgy. I'm updated for updated for the modern version.
Sure.
also joining us, we have Holly Anderson. Yo, no, you get the intro.
God, we're gonna leave our actual guest on the hook for so he's gonna walk away.
No,
he's sleepy.
You let him fall asleep if he wants to. He's just like one of our listeners. If you want a nap during this, you go right ahead.
Really wish I could have been informed of this earlier. Like, go smoke a cigarette.
I just broke a streak of like six shows without having my name mentioned. That's like Candyman.
That's Stephen Godfrey. We'll get to him. Holly, what's one piece of information about
what has
you?
Gotten into Spencer? What is this? Why are we so extensive?
I brought rosé.
Are we making up for lost time?
It feels like he's stalling. Like he's got a witness coming into court that's not there yet. So he's like, Your Honor, I thought we'd just go around and talk about ourselves, learn a little bit about what makes us all good Christians. If you don't mind.
I'm a picking and a singing.
Did somebody from corporate say, like, y'all have to introduce yourselves more often so Spencer's just getting it all in at once?
When we then, said vamp, yeah, I meant to put said, on that sequin cummerbund.
Please find the intro, but then please also make sure to do plan to do drugs on air.
None of you have come up with the
most
likely
explanation.
This intro
is like Jesus versus Miro intro long.
None of you have come up with the most obvious suggestion, which is that I have forgotten who any of us are because I am Dory the fish, right?
That makes the most sense so far.
Yeah, that I'm actually, this is my cunning way of getting you to reintroduce yourselves and reframe yourself within my 24-hour memory frame.
It's like the most boring remake of Memento possible.
So Holly Anderson, who I definitely know and remember, what's one piece of personal information? One little nugget about yourself?
What are you, a cop?
Here, I have one. For Reddit, she's not married to Spencer.
Do you know who told Reddit that I was? Spencer's wife.
just trying to share.
Terrific. I logged in just in time to register that, and I'm never going back to that thing again. Whose idea was that?
Jason's. That was Jason's fault.
Thanks,
social,
buddy.
Social media expert, might I add.
Jason Kirk. By the way, you should all go and join the Shutdown Fullcast Reddit. We may make random appearances. You never know. Just assume we're reading everything.
I think it's better to foster an environment where the children feel they can play creatively without someone looking over their shoulders.
Speaking of lightly supervised environments, hey, Stephen Godfrey's here.
Hi. So I'm supposed to share something. I had an existential crisis today because...
Was it Monday?
Recently, well, this one wasn't related to work, so I broke a Ripken-like streak of micro-nervous breakdowns. I inherited a pickup truck from my father. Stay with me on this.
Wow.
Yes. God, how are you already telling the most old miss story possible?
Fathers and sons. After scraping all the obvious shit that comes from a 65-year-old retired cop off of the car, I was recently informed that there is an aftermarket CD deck in the truck. I'm painting a picture here. It's like, so think circa 2002, a lot of like neon lights and, you know, a lot of buttons where you never know what they do when you buy it.
Can we guess what CD was in it?
Well, here's the problem, Holly.
Okay.
By the way, don't jump the lead. There's a CD stuck in it. Now, I don't have to drive the truck often. So I'm thinking about just leaving this thing as is, because like you charge your phone off the cigarette thing or whatever, and I'll just like listen to my phone. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm fully functional dad. The CD that is stuck in it is Big and Rich's Greatest Hits. I'm thinking about just leaving this as like a novelty item in case I ever have a passenger.
That's a conversation piece.
And then feigning shock when one, there's a Big and Rich CD play. It's the only thing that if you turn on the super neon glowing deck that will play. So I'm thinking about just keeping this, feigning shock when a passenger tries to turn something on, and just seeing how long I can go before it makes me, you know, horribly, irreparably depressed.
I'm excited.
What if you pretend that you can't hear it and be like, what are you talking about? What music?
I'm excited for Godfrey to use this CD to start his own ride sharing service called Goober.
Ugh. Yeah, for the what record, if what I if... was going to guess Amy Grant, Hard Emotion.
That's a great guess.
What if you're just like, hey, you want to hear the new Big Crit?
Man, Kanye went native.
Yeah, you know, if you gave Big Crit like a serious personality disorder and then played out 100 years into the future and granted him no aging, he'd eventually make a Big and Rich album, right? Like on accident, right? Like he just eventually hit on one if you just allowed him to make as many albums as possible.
You don't know that Cowboy Troy wasn't in Cash Money. No one can prove that.
You know what?
If Baby says he's in Cash Money, science experiment gone wrong.
Yeah, from the Cash Money lab. Like he burst out like Frankenstein.
Yeah, like they were trying to clone Birdman. And it was like, kill me.
They told the lab, we want a country rapper. And the lab took it a little too literally.
Hey, Croatia's a country.
Cowboy Troy's the most popular artist in Serbia? What? Yeah, I. By the way, that's the answer. If Baby says, if Birdman wants me to say that Cowboy Troy is a rapper, I will say it. I'll say whatever he wants me to say, along with Jay Prince. If Jay Prince wants me to say it, I will say it.
I've got a story that I could just tell, and I think there's statute of limitations on my agreements with ESPN PR. I had to go interview Big and Rich a couple years ago. You guys remember that when they redid the intro and they shot it in, of course, Nashville?
Yeah, it's a good blog post. People should go read.
Thanks. They made me wait an hour and 45 minutes to get, you know, just the basic requisite crappy quotes that go along with a PR effort. And two thirds of them were Ryan Nannied out of their skull. I'll put it that way. And I was asked not to mention that. So I think I can get away with keeping that agreement up by not mentioning which two of the like three or five guys were completely geeked out.
Yeah. I'm on that celebrity hot tub, y'all. Don't do that. Come on. This brand is tarnished enough. Why would you make it worse?
Slang for weed is nothing but you now.
Super like, nanny man. When you're well rested.
Yo, man, I got that super nanny.
Cop that nanny.
What do you call it? What do you call this varietal? What do you call this strain of weed? I call it 9 hours a nanny.
I hate this show.
Damn, that's the blooming onion.
All right, that will get us sued. That will get us
man, you know how many downloads we get if we got sued by Outback?
Probably about the same. I don't think it would change all that much.
No, it would be good for business.
Okay.
We're safe. What Spencer actually did with all of his vamping at the top of the show was provide us with kind of like an auditory buffer in order to face legal action. People have got to wade through the first part of the show to find the infringements. We're fine.
This is a mastermind. A bunch of corporate lawyers sitting down in a big boardroom, and after 3.5 minutes, they're like, "No, we can't. I just this fuck is, this. No,
these guys.
No.
It.
The
these
intro. Guys seem the fine. Intro is the abandoned furniture we leave on the front porch. So when the cops show up, they're like, "Oh, nobody lives here."
Spencer, what's your fun fact, said. By the way? You're not.
Oh yeah, what's Spencer's weird?
You can't throw this down and walk away.
Spencer has to go to a doctor this week because he slept wrong.
It's true.
God damn. How did everybody come up with the oldest shit?
I did. I slept wrong, so I think I got some wrong with my shoulder blade or back, something back there, so I have to go to a... I'm going to a physician to go get that looked at.
I walked into to do the podcast tonight. He's talking about going to a specialist, and I thought he had deadlifted his way into trouble, and he's like, I woke up weird.
That's
it. But isn't it nice that you're old enough to not care and you can be honest with the doctor? Like, if you had done that at age 23, you would have made up some bullshit, or you just wouldn't go to the doctor at all.
Actually, there was an injury from that era of my life I will share. Because you say, well, man, you injured yourself sleeping. That's a prime old guy thing. Yes, it is. But stupid injuries during sleep are a tradition around here, and I will explain why. I went to the Florida-Tennessee game in, I believe, 2007. This was the game where, I don't know, we beat them like a lot. We beat them by much. And afterwards, I celebrated. And when I celebrated, I fell asleep on one of those giant adult bean bags, right?
I don't think they call them adult bean bags. That sounds gross and sexual.
Okay, so a pornographic beanbag, if you like that term more. Yeah. Okay.
I fell asleep on a horn bag.
How do you even get traction on one of those?
Well, I didn't, and that's actually part of the story of the injury, because when I fell asleep, I'm a belly sleeper. Y'all didn't need to know that. I tend to cock one leg up as if I'm climbing the side of a building. and that's how I sleep.
Oh my
and
God,
I
wake you sleep up, in rampage mode.
I do. I sleep in rampage mode, and I wake up seriously every morning with the thought of, oh God, I'm still alive. Like every morning.
I changed back from Godzilla. Thank God.
Is that good?
I don't know. It's just how I wake up every morning. It's different. Like, oh God, I'm still alive. Another day. And most people are like, well, another day. Great to be alive. I'm just stating facts. I'm like, oh God, awake. So I sleep like that. When you sleep like that on a gigantic beanbag, gradually your head will sink further because it is heavier than your arms. Because
you're literally describing how dinosaurs got trapped in tar pits.
That was me over the course of a night. An Allosaurus that had gone wayward into a pit and was gradually sinking into the tar or amber. Whatever large,
that's
sticky
not
substance.
How amber works.
It is. They're big pits of amber.
True. Don't they're tell famous. Them. They're very famous.
Jurassic Park. They're famous. The amber pits of Akron, Ohio.
I can't wait to top a cane with your skull.
Amber pits, definitely the hottest stripper in Akron, Ohio.
So
put pit in.
I would. This pit story concludes with me falling asleep with my head initially above my arms and then sinking well below that range of motion so that I spend a good 8 or 9 extremely drunken hours with my hands well behind my head, if you will, okay?
Wait, that's a stress position for hostage negotiation. Not hostage negotiation, for interrogation.
3 days later, I begin to experience a throbbing spiraling pain down my left arm, which, as anyone who knows the signs of a heart attack would say, hey, that's alarming. It was very alarming, particularly because it kept creeping up my face, like my neck and my shoulder and into like my jaw. And I really thought, well, buddy, looks like we've done it here. Just shy, you know, just over the age of 30, we're going to have a heart attack. So I went to the hospital and a Michigan grad, a doctor there, said, well, I don't know, your EKG looks great. Your blood pressure's awesome. Everything sounds fine.
But you got no class.
Said no class. By the way, we don't cheat in football and never have. Why would we ever do that? And then he said to me one day you'll have 2 marks of the Wolverine on you. And I was like, sorcerer! So anyway, he said, can you do me a favor? Can you take your left arm and raise it over your head? And I tried to do that and I was like, ow, ow! And he goes, oh, you tore your rotator cuff. How do you sleep? And I was like, normally just in my head, but I've never injured myself sleeping. And he goes, did you have any unusual situations? And I was like, funny story. Would sleeping on a beanbag do that? And he's like, brother, I have some good and bad news for you.
How do you breathe sleeping face down on a beanbag?
Brain doesn't need much oxygen, to be honest.
Did you take a snorkel?
Yeah, no.
I'm just trying to picture the physics of this at work.
Ryan, are you sure we don't have any mattresses to slang? Because again... The time
there's
got to
be an internet mattress company that isn't spoken for yet.
For a show that cannot transition into an ad read, you've missed like 4 for a mattress.
This is killing me.
We noted all of them, though.
I'm pretty
there's
like a Rudyard Kipling fable about this.
It's like we're bad.
Can we start a mattress company?
Sure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But so do you think for like about 10 years of your life, you were actually just living the life of an amateur pro wrestler and you didn't know it?
What do you mean 10 years?
Like torn rotator cuff, wouldn't go to doctor, sleeping on a beanbag. Like that's like 80 dudes I know from back in the day.
Yeah, like I said, that really hasn't discontinued or stopped in a lot of respects. This going to the, I live like a Viking, like a disorganized Viking with bad furniture.
Like an abandoned Viking. Go. Like a Viking without purpose.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
They left
like,
you in port.
They left me in port. I missed the
You're
boat.
You're too dense.
That's exactly right. That's not making it on the boat.
Be like, no, we're not putting his fucking beanbag on the boat. Fuck him. Leave him behind.
We already have an anchor.
Oh, I still love you.
Now you're our emotional anchor.
Now I'm the emotional anchor.
Why are we actually doing... I honestly
drowning us,
I
not
say
grounding
this every
us.
Week.
Well, we...
But now I really don't know why we're here.
No reason.
I especially don't know why we made Godfrey do this.
No reason.
Because
I cannot.
There are two reasons. One, the answer to one is because we did it last week. So
that's it?
The answer.
Well, we're forced to do it again this week.
We're Sisyphus of bad audio?
Yes. Actually, that's our listeners.
That's been clear for some time.
The answer is you talk shit about Alpha Flight about a month and a half ago, and I just got around to bringing the fucking paint. Oh, Rin is due.
Okay, fine. Here, let's dive into it, okay?
I'm extremely excited to sit back and watch Steven and Jason fight for 45 minutes.
Exactly. I wanted to go ahead and just frame this by saying that this week has been really momentous for Steven. I'd say the past, 7 days, Steven has been the star of a documentary. Which is doing really, really well. I haven't checked any numbers.
It's called Flint Town. It's on Netflix.
It's called Flint Town. What's the one about the cult? It's that one.
Wild, Wild Country.
Mm. Yeah, Wild, Wild Country.
Yep.
Stephen Godfrey is the star. No, he's the star of Foul Play, our documentary on Go 90, which is about Mississippi football recruiting and the sordid underbelly of college football.
Which is about freak baseball injuries.
Go 90, it's a real app. You can put it on your phone or your tablet or any other device. It's real app.
Real. Or a real app. Go 90. He's also authored the 11,000 words, I believe. Opus, summing up the story for those who prefer the tale in a wonderfully written version of this. This is what I wanted to ask you, Stephen. What's the weirdest input you've gotten this week? I know that the reaction's been mostly positive, like shockingly positive on both, right?
Yeah.
Like not a whole lot of people
like FSU positive.
Well, we ran a streak of 23 positive, non-racist, non-gender biased, like totally humane at a family event level commentary from 23 in a row from FSU fans. Jeez. What the hell happened down there?
They've lost their edge since Jimbo left.
I don't even have a joke. I was worried at one point.
I think Willie Taggart's just like really brought him to Jesus. They've just embraced the positivity life, man. That's what happens when you get a spread offense where people get to have fun, you know? All of a sudden, the universe is like beautiful rigging and architecture become apparent to you, as opposed to the satanic complex musings of one Jimbo Fisher, the false god.
Oh, God. Yeah, the only thing I have to add to that is that I have a contact whose job it is to look at every picture of Jimbo Fisher on social media and the internet and then circle when he still wears like his Florida State Nike stuff. And then they have to send it to the school and be like, can you please, I swear to God, please make him change that gray t-shirt.
Well, to be fair, he can't afford new clothes. He doesn't have much money.
Hey,
he doesn't work for money. He works for the love of the game, the money game. Sorry, are we talking about money?
Even with the absurdity of this show and everything that we do, which is patently absurd, we have undersold as shit out of that man going to Texas A&M for that much money guaranteed. We've all slept on this. We've all done a poor job.
Yeah, can we pick a point in July over the All-Star break when there's nothing else going on in sports and just pick a designated day to all just flip out over this?
It just it just randomly occurs to me sometime that they're paying him that much money to do that, which isn't going to work.
But Giggum, what if it does?
Yeah. Counterpoint.
God, there'll be no living with
what
this.
If it does?
Counterpoint. Actually, fuck you.
I have. Well, the way you got to think about this is Texas can't afford to pay Tom Herman that much, apparently, because they're not. So,
maybe you have me at Texas can't afford.
That's it. I enjoy that Jimbo Fisher really doesn't have any idea what to spend this on. There are other coaches who I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm pretty sure they could spend this money. But Jimbo, I'm like, I don't know how many trucks you could buy.
There's no greater argument about economic inequality when a man who's guaranteed to make $10 million a year for like what the fuck ever it is for the rest of time cannot change a gray dry fit t-shirt after being told multiple times.
Name Jimbo.
And I like that every photo that comes out of him, it's like, oh, he's... Boy, the self-care levels are not great. Like, they're always grizzled. They always have to apply every Photoshop filter possible so they can be like, no, he's just looking steely and hard. He didn't stay up all night and hasn't brushed his teeth in 4 days. I don't know what you're talking about. Jimbo's fine. He loves it here. Everyone's fine. Go away.
Yeah, the desert is desiccating him into the turtle from Neverending Story.
other divorce.
No, look it up. Look it up right now. Do an image search. Never told a lie on this podcast.
I believe you.
Other divorced dads are looking at him and they have concern about his skincare regimen.
It's true. They're like, listen, he may not agree with their political beliefs, but Lush makes a couple of moisturizers that frankly transcend any concerns one might have.
Big man,
not even the most primitive understanding of masculinity.
For men.
They put exfoliants in them now. You don't have to do but you don't have to do two steps. You can save a lot of time just doing it in the shower.
Yeah. Listen, it's one gel. One gel across. That's my favorite thing about men's products is that you're like, can we use one gel for what?
Oh, yeah, everything? yeah. The combination shampoo conditioner, if that could also be toothpaste, a lot of men would buy that.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, but the next step after that is like subsisting off of it. It's going to move into consuming territory pretty quick.
Also fun.
Yeah, have you seen Snowpiercer?
You know who likes trains? Dudes like trains.
I thought you were going to say Texas A&M.
Texas loves railroads.
It's true. They do. If it weren't for those T-sippers in Austin, we'd still be riding on them. By the way, Ollie's completely right. The turtle and never-ending story is Jimbo Fisher. It's terrifying.
This is terrible. Can we ask the Reddit questions now?
Sure. Yeah, so some media elites might have a problem with there being a Reddit page because they sit and stare at the Twitter and complain about, like, you know, normal internet weirdos using Reddit and having to interface with them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
like,
how
Twitter
you know
is totally healthy for your brain to sit and stare
how
at.
Everything written about Reddit has just been like, yep, it's just normal interaction. Everything's good.
It's exactly as normal. Well, it's nowhere near as normal as Twitter, of course. Twitter, of course, where normal humans spend all their time in their little elite bubble. Seeing as this is a podcast of the people, we reach out beyond Twitter, which is like 700 people all tweeting, LMAO, Twitter broke my brain. And we extended out to Reddit, which is like 700 people talking about whether John Cena could beat up Batman. And like, yeah, they both have a lot of awful
with
people
fans.
Saying awful
yes.
stuff.
Yes. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Twitter is Reddit for media people who can't draw fan art. Let's be
exactly.
honest.
Exactly. Tell them. Talk to them.
The fan art is if John Cena could beat up pregnant Sonic. It's different.
On Twitter, it's whether like... John Cena is woke enough to like eat Donald Trump. I don't know. So I like this one from Quietude38 because this is also a topic that we wanted to get into anyway. Best gas station fried chicken. And this was a welcome question for Godfrey as our ranking Mid-South Louisiana expert.
Okay, so it can't be a chain inside of like a pilot station, correct? We're like eliminating all that crap, right?
No, you just make the choice you want to make. Now, if it's a chain, but it's one specific location of that chain, that's fine. I want you to make the decision that your heart wants to make.
Okay,
okay? Don't
here we
think
go.
About it.
Between the cities of Meridian and Hattiesburg is I-59, and there's one outside of Laurel, Mississippi, and then there's another one on Highway. I think it's 45, just north of Waynesboro, and they're both just like a mat. By the way, is everyone familiar? I know Holly is, and Spencer probably is, but like, is Meat and Three just a Nashville term? Everyone understands what that is, right?
I think that's a pretty common culinary term.
So just like, so what Mississippi does is that like, you can't get the money for the building and afford the business, so they just put them in the back of a gas station and cuts all the overhead. The food is as good, probably better than most places that are like bullshit trendy. There's a place just north of Waynesboro, and it's in the back of an Amoco station. The gas station chicken is fucking unreal.
Do you know the name of this place? We want to point.
No,
you
it's
to
just
see,
the
that
back
sounds
of
even
the
better
Amoco
though.
Station.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better. I just want people to know back of the Amoco station, right?
It's on Highway 45.
God, is Godfrey using our podcast to run a human trafficking scheme? Is that what
another,
I'm worried I mean, that's what's happening
at
here.
Least it has a purpose now.
Yeah, that's another extremely Reddit opinion, right?
Look, I don't have to disclose paid endorsements. Kiss my ass. I'm off the clock.
Is it illegal in Mississippi? Good question.
No, it should always be the answer.
Chicken Gate's going to be great. I'm excited.
This is where I basically talk a SWAT team into raiding the place out of paranoid like idiots online just to bring me chicken, right? Like the SWAT team's like, "Well, we confiscated all the chicken." I'm like, "Guess you're going to have to like meet me in Atlanta at your office at the ATF." Oh dear. Got all this confiscated chicken.
I'll test it. I'm brave.
I'm brave. I'll eat it. Mmm, it's delicious. I mean, it's terrible. Toxic. It's bad. Why did you guys bring me all this delicious chicken? Wasn't part of a long-term plan at all.
Do you all realize how insane talking about gas station chicken is?
No, this is not insane. Because
No. Well, let me finish.
Okay.
To people who have no familiarity with the region that we're talking about.
Well, all right. Like, you gotta know, okay? Here's a couple of things you gotta know, and I don't think it's that outrageous.
No, you're like just, even in a dense urban environment, y'all got bodegas. It's just a bodega, exactly.
Yeah, but I would not get fried chicken from.
Okay, but what would you get at a bodega? What would you eat?
You wouldn't get fried chicken in New York City.
You would get an egg sandwich that's been sitting under a heat lamp for 8 hours.
What's the Deezer's and Mero sandwich that's so popular now? Chopped cheese.
Chopped cheese.
Yeah. Okay. So you get like one of those, or you get. I know in New York, like the best things I've gotten are usually like the sort of like half garbage that comes off of like. Yeah, like a bodega or a cart of some sort, right?
Sure. Street meat's fine.
Oh, that's all you're doing.
But if you can drive up and get the street meat, woo! Yeah.
And a pack of Doral's and maybe a couple Gatorades.
God, your life has been bad.
Now, seriously though, like that's like for like this has always been.
That's called shopping, Ryan. Okay, that's what we do. Not all of us go to Publix all the time. Asking.
I'm so sorry for your wife, and I say that all the time, but I've never felt it so
acutely. Oh, especially this week, though. Mm-hmm. Are you taking that lady on vacation?
She's in Pensacola with both kids and my in-laws right now.
Oh, God.
But so, when she gets home, it's lemon just, lime waiting.
It's not just a drink. It's a lifestyle.
Next question. From the Shutdown Fullcast Reddit, like and subscribe or whatever you do to these.
Okay, I have one.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah.
Okay, if you got it loaded up, go ahead.
All right, this is from Cockadoodle Boom. What's the dumbest redneck thing you've ever done? I'm directing this at Godfrey to start.
Ooh. Right on the spot. It would definitely be discharging firearms in city limits. So before 9/11, you could be charged with terrorism.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. I was not arrested for terrorism. One of my friends was arrested for terrorism, but it meant something different before 9/11.
Right. It was a pure
simpler
time.
Times.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason, who immediately knows what I'm talking about and will back me up.
No, I got you. I got you.
The individual was, I had assisted in the operation, but was not on the roof. This was after we fired a 38 at it's not a full stoplight with the three colors, but just the one that just has an intersection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's an individual on a roof, and I can't even remember what the recipe used to be, but you would take like, I think it was Drano tinfoil. You put it in a 2-liter bottle, and I think there was some other accelerant.
That wasn't it. But
orange
yeah.
juice.
There's something else where you can shake it up.
Wait, were you making napalm?
No, we were just – no, it would create an explosion.
Never mind.
This is Holly and I saying we know too much. Go ahead.
Jesus.
It was creating an explosion because it was like compacted or – I don't know. Like I was sober at the time.
Wait, didn't this like get attention as like the next knockdown game a couple years ago as like this thing that teens are doing?
This was like pre.
No. I mean, I know what you're talking about because I think this had a resurgence like last year.
The 90s are back.
Finally.
Ed, what were the consequences of this?
I did not go to jail. I did jump flat footed in cowboy boots off of the roof of a 1-story home that and really stuck the landing.
I'm proud of you.
You got a high center of gravity. That's nice.
Now, I know of a guy who got a terrorism charge because he owned a record store in downtown Fort Lauderdale and decided it would be a fun idea to see if he could shoot clay pigeons off the top of it, not really thinking about it being the middle of Fort Lauderdale. That was a charge he dodged eventually, but I don't blame them for that. Like, he's like, yeah, I got a terrorism charge.
Yeah, no, it used to be funny because pre 9/11, you would terrorism was a pretty common felony charge for just being a drunk asshole.
I am available to lecture to your students or scout group if you do want to teach them how to make napalm.
FBI, I don't know these people. I don't like them.
Oh, they're busy, honey.
I don't work with them. Are they? At the moment. Are they?
Apparently, yeah.
You know Jeff Sessions listens to this podcast because he loves Spencer's impression of him.
I asked two FBI agents a week ago. I was like, what was the motivation on the basketball thing? And we're like, we don't fucking know.
Godfrey, breaking news on this podcast. Literally, basketball investigation. No one fucking knows.
But both of them in unison just completely shrugged it off with all of the like all of the existential dread and ennui that comes with a federal government job. Just like, we don't fucking know.
I hope it's revealed that it was just a couple of Kentucky fans within the bureau that were just like, yep, just wanted to show you Coach Cal. Coach Cal's clean. Love him.
We're dedicated.
Anybody else got a... Well, no, I do want to ask Spencer what the dumbest redneck thing he's ever done is. Although you kind of already said it when you tore your rotator cuff sleeping in a beanbag at post age 20.
I think that counts as redneck if that like ruined your high school baseball career.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I never had. So I have to resort to an entirely different thing, which was shooting a movie in my sophomore year of high school. One of those, you know... Hey, let's make a movie for a school project. And that somehow morphs into the idea of, hey, we need a scene with fireworks. Here's the dumbest thing we ever did. Driving down the road, there was a box of fireworks for a scene that was in the back seat. And there is one person in every group of people who will be the person to do the one thing that will endanger everybody, right? I have a theory, and that's this, that if the group of people equals N, right? Then N greater than 5, there will be one person in the group who wants to torture everyone. It's just, it works. It's like any movie, right? Like if you're in a doors locked situation, a Lord of the Flies situation, if you have more than 5 people in the room, one of those people is like, you know what the solution to this is? We need to torture somebody. That's just going to happen. Okay. Be ready. Know if it's you. Be honest about it. Okay. 2, there's always one person in that group, N larger than 4, who will be completely willing to do something randomly dangerous to like screw up everything simply because they want to, right? This is the person who wants to watch the world burn. We had 5 people working on this project. One of them thought it was a really good idea to, while driving down a major road in Franklin, Tennessee, throw a bottle rocket into that box, which was sitting in the back seat of what I believe was a Tempo. I was not in the car. I was in the car behind it, which was the best place to be. Because if you've ever watched about $100 worth of fireworks go up inside a small compact car, it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see. It really is. Because in the midst of all of the explosions and things going off inside the car and smoke coming out of it, you'll see hands waving in a panicked fashion. That, while you acknowledge, is alarming and possibly harmful to the people inside, is so hilarious you can't stop laughing.
It's nature's strobe light.
You just see someone in the back going, ah! And the universal panic gesture. They had to pull over and pour out. They all looked like they'd been in an oven for about 30 minutes. It was magnificent. It was almost like Tom and Jerry when something blows up and they're all covered with like soot and ash. It looked exactly like that. That is the most redneck thing I've done, is pull over and laugh at somebody who had a box full of fireworks go off in the backseat of a car.
Yeah. I'm not going to keep asking this question because somebody's going to commit to a crime, admit to a crime. Please, someone take the mic.
I have a question I want to ask Spencer first and then Godfrey. It is from MHG94 on the Shutdown Fullcast Reddit, which everyone should friend or whatever you do.
America's only college football Reddit. That's not true.
I have one free day in Nashville. What should I do? Spencer.
Leave.
Go to Memphis.
Take a nap.
Go to Memphis.
Godfrey.
Just go to Memphis.
Yeah. So stay and sleep. All right. Those are your choices.
Or my superior answer, leave and get some decent barbecue.
We bought all of Memphis's barbecue and brought it here, so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So ruined
it. Yeah, whatever. We've been trying to keep this up for like 10 years now, and I'm just like, yeah, fuck, whatever. I pay taxes here.
I'll always win.
Why?
Because I won't ever let it go.
No, here's the problem. It's slowly turning into the part where you're the person on this podcast who cares the most about Tennessee. And that's how you lose.
You know, that's a very damaging thing to say about something. I have no response to that.
If okay. you step into the courtroom, then that's what happens. You just got Ryan just tore your argument to trash.
I know, that's why I'm going to stall for another 15 minutes. Judge!
No, it's fine.
Judge, why don't we go around and talk about
Jesus? Why don't we share deeply traumatic childhood stories so we can better understand... No. All right, this is from the Fanged Rabbit. This is Saban Orr. Godfrey, can you explain Saban Orr to the people?
Saban Orr is a device that we created on PAPN because inevitably everything comes back to the horrible time in which we live in which a despot ruler has taken over our freedom and wins a lot of national championships. You thought it was a Trump joke. So what we do, you said winning. Hey! So what we do is we say basically Saban Orr means number of national titles yet to be won by Nick Saban or some other event.
All right, so this Saban Orr is Saban national titles or good DC cinematic universe movies.
Saban national titles. I didn't even blink. Saban national titles.
And you on PFPM being podcast and play nobody, the universe's only other college football podcast.
Well, that's Earth 2's college
football. Oh, right. Yeah, that's correct. Comedy. It's the, what is it? Secret Invasions or whatever.
Yeah.
Y'all are the, when the Kree turn into heroes, y'all are that. And we're the good guys.
Let me tell you something. I know you're downplaying your knowledge of that fucking event right now to sound cool.
Dude, it's amazing. I duck the nerd tag. I have a motherfucking Nintendo tattoo, and nobody around here calls me a nerd. It's amazing.
I know.
So on that podcast, you've established 2.5 as sort of the going over under for future Saban titles. Is that correct? That seems
to be what everybody thinks is 2.5.
That's horrifying.
Because nobody will make a decent DC comic. Because all of their DC stands for dumb comics. All of their characters are dumb.
All right, God damn it! Now trash. I don't know what you say. About-
no, wait. Before we get there, I want to change this. Jimbo national titles. DC cinematic universe.
How long is he staying alive? Can they cryo him?
Okay, so here's my thing about Batman, and I've thought about this a lot over the last couple of days, and I want to compare him with Spider-Man. So Spider-Man's origin story. He gets his powers, but he doesn't really use them to fight crime at first. And this comes back to bite him, some pun intended, in a very particular way, because his uncle dies because he failed to intervene to stop a criminal. Right? Did I get everything right, Steven?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So it's understandable, like, oh, he's learned a lesson here. He has to use his powers to make the world a better place, because if he doesn't, he will live with the guilt that he didn't stop these things from happening. All right, that's number one. Batman, at least we'll use Christian Bale Batman. Batman sees his parents gunned down when he's a very young child, and then he grows up all disaffected because he didn't go to therapy and didn't work out his issues, goes training off in the mountains, comes back home, and sees his parents' killer proceeding through the justice system normally. Mm-hmm. So... that means he should fight. I don't understand. Why is Batman fighting crime if, like, what was supposed to happen did?
I mean,
the police caught the... it's not like this killer went uncaught. And if we are going to go with the other version of the origin story, where it's the Joker who kills his parents, that I'll buy. But if Batman's killer... if Batman's parents' killer...
Batman's
is
parents
just,
are dead?
He does. Jesus, asshole.
I mean, like, since... because
well, here's the thing. The events of Solo suggest that maybe they're not.
Oh, no. No, we're not going down this path. No.
What my book presupposes is...
so isn't Batman kind of an asshole? Because he hasn't had some formative experience where he's like, oh, the police couldn't do the job, so I have to. Like, What the fuck?
Since he was created, there have been just a multitude of origin stories, and some are really wacky and zany and reflect the time. But the bottom line, the short version is this: since the mid-80s, Batman has become like a libertarian's wet dream and basically reflected the Reagan era and then never stopped. And he became the smartest guy in the entire universe. And so it makes right. I'm giving you the answer basically that you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I twist that into Batman is Dollar Store Punisher?
You know, he's Silicon Valley Punisher.
Yeah, that's
I'm
going to
disrupt these streets. I got an app. We're going to disrupt crime. He's not cheap. No.
You can't call him cheap. It's not like a knockoff. He's reinventing the bus.
Right.
Like, it's the other direction.
It's some shit where it's like Batman's like, I've invented a device, and when you push a button, it shoots an object and it hits a person.
Oh, cool.
And everyone mashes retweet. Retweet like, Batman, you invented a gun.
Commissioner, here's a special signal that you activate, and it tells me to come meet. You mean a phone? You invented a it's a light that's a phone?
Batman, you invented a light.
Like Batman's out there like...
He invented a really shitty text alert badge.
What if we arrested the criminals? Yeah, you invented the police department, Batman, but you did it in a really inefficient, expensive way. What a dumbass. Batman is the stupidest... Okay, Batman is like by far the most compelling character in the DC universe, and he
Wonder Woman.
And he is the stupidest character. Wonder Woman, the way
what's
they
wrong
did,
with y'all?
The way they did Wonder Woman, like
they made
the,
a good DC movie.
They did. They made a good DC, and that's it. That's the only one they're getting.
A good DC movie.
Like if they did a Martian Manhunter one, it would be awesome. But Martian Manhunter's never getting any love because DC doesn't make enough money.
On TV every week.
They're not making a movie.
Nobody knows that.
They're not getting far enough in the depth chart to get to Martian
TV?
Manhunter.
What?
Let's get that. What? Give me that.
So I came on this podcast to basically now associate Elon Musk and Batman for the rest of my life. I'm really
Are they that different?
Really glad I stayed up to do this.
Elon Musk does not lift.
No, not one bit. And Batman, even husky Ben Affleck, fat kid Batman.
Oh,
he's, I bet he's got spongy bones.
I just want to talk about the tattoo.
That's why I call Ben Affleck Elon Husk.
So I showed my wife had not seen the sad picture of Ben Affleck at the beach until a couple weeks ago. So I showed it to her and she looked at it carefully and she says, well, that's the new sad husky.
If we put sad husky on Ben Affleck.
I don't think it would matter.
Y'all create that when you're listening and tweet it at Ryan Nanny.
Thanks. My favorite was putting that on the internet because so many people commented on his ass. That was the best part of it was, man, he ain't got no cakes. His cake's deflated. Look how flat that shit is. It runs right into his like knees. That's so disturbing.
His ex-wife pulled the bless your heart in Vanity Fair on him.
She's from West Virginia.
How the fuck did you leave yourself open to that? And how are you going to work again?
He's from Boston, which is an underrepresented media market. I don't know if you know that, but by law, people from Boston get movie contracts and
you
like
can't
websites
bless my
and stuff.
Heart because I don't have one. More carbs.
Crime will never be as loud as a Celtics home crowd.
What if I made a car, but it was really heavy and covered in armor? That's a tank. It's a tank, dumbass.
Driving on a roof.
I have an important question from. Yeah. RR5481, tell us about Big Ten bag men and in what ways they are more virtuous than SEC bag men.
We had a legit serious question today that absolutely stabbed right at the heart of this pious bullshit. I don't really have a joke about it, but if you give me a second, I can look it up. But it essentially said, if you don't support bag men and you condemn the culture that goes on in the SEC and you're a Notre Dame or a Michigan fan, aren't you accidentally endorsing a modern form of slavery? I kind of just wanted to read the tweet and then just get off the air. That would have been our entire podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah. Kind of awkward for those folks up north. Bet they're really struggling with that one.
I guess they just don't understand, that people deserve to be treated equally. It's a common problem that happens in the north.
I would just say this, that if you are looking at any of this sordid behavior in the SEC and beyond, and you say, oh, well, that could never be us, How many other basic big stories or dynamics has that worked for? Huh? Because you know what? What university in the SEC, I don't know, protected a pedophile? Hundreds of cases and instances of that? And then retreated to defending the institution above the individual? That wasn't in the SEC.
On a slightly lighter note, Ryan always...
Now, by the way, conversely, the other thing to think is that's probably happened in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, definitely.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Don't ever assume that the horrible phenomenon you're describing didn't happen in your neighborhood, because if it's been described and it involves a large institution, guess what? Flip it. It probably happened to y'all. And it also will probably come out sooner rather than later in this environment. And should. That's good. My point being, don't assume any of this isn't below board. It's all possible.
Ryan always reminds me of this because I don't watch basketball that much, but he did vacate like a fucking Final Four for paying players, right? That happened.
For like a money laundering scheme that went to federal court. I always forget that. Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everybody. It is just safer to assume that your school is doing some amount of dirt. You hope that it is the kind that Godfrey has been investigating, where you're like, well, on the moral arc, this is on, you know, a pretty comfortable side of it. But to Spencer's point, yeah, it's a large institution with a lot of fucked up motives. And it's probably going to have some things on the other side of that arc as well.
Power defends power. That's how that works.
Yeah.
And there are no fences. It works everywhere.
Fuck, this got deep.
Yeah, I know. Better ask another question.
Okay. Godfrey, what are your thoughts about...
Somebody bail us out of this.
What are your thoughts about cowboy boots with the team logo on them? That's from JJ Ringer.
I have no, I don't understand this at all, but are you in, I guess it only works in like Texas and Oklahoma, where people will routinely tuck their pants into their boots. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Or wear them with basketball shorts.
That's fine. I'm totally fine with that. I choose not to do that. It's more of a religious reason, but, yeah, I mean, I get it, because it's very popular in certain campuses for the young ladies to pair with like a skirt or something like that. But I don't understand why, like, unless you are seriously fucking wearing shorts, you're not going to show the logo off. But hey, more power to you.
There is a school I know that will wear the team logo boots. I've seen it with shorts, and that is Oklahoma State.
Yes. I have seen this at LSU.
You've seen that at LSU? Okay. Yes. Have you seen it on a man at LSU?
Nope.
Okay, I've seen it on a man at Oklahoma State.
Don't sleep on K-State either.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
It's the beanbag of the Big 12. So
you don't sleep on it.
Just Bill's not. Come on, have a sleep. I'm just a big old beanbag. I can't hurt you. Oh, look at that. Your season's ruined because I tore your rotator cuff. Thanks for playing.
Here's a nice note.
When did you decide that you were a cowboy boot person, Godfrey?
Well, not always. It's just more of a public persona, but I guess early college.
That just feels like a hard thing to just be like, "Yep, that's a thing I do now." And look,
yeah, but
it works for you, and that's great. But it's the kind of thing
when you do it, though.
Oh, right. When you're full of
college is filled with those like overcorrections of character and identity experiments and all that shit, where like you can literally erase the collective memory by semester. So if you pull a stunt like that at any other age of your life, you're going to be made fun of. Whereas in college, it's just like, wait, is he always doing that? I don't know. I'm drunk.
Well, I don't take sociology with you assholes anymore, so I don't have to talk about it.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you, do you own a pair of cowboy boots, Ryan?
No, I couldn't pull that off to save my life.
Do you, Holly, do you own a pair of cowboy boots?
Several. Yeah.
When did you decide you could carry them off?
It was never a decision point for me. I've just always been around them because I am from Hill People.
She's Bane, Godfrey is Batman.
I mean, most of my family comes from Appalachia and North Georgia, and like I remember my grandparents wearing them, and it was, yeah, I guess it's funnier to me to hear Ryan act like it was a big choice. We were just like,
yeah, it's way more, it comes from the ambience more than the affectation.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there are situations now, like there are situations in which it is an affectation, but the reason that I own them was because they were an ambient factor in my upbringing.
Let me put it this way. If you're in Tampa and you see somebody wearing cowboy boots and you're not at a Texas Roadhouse, you should leave. You should go somewhere else.
Moist.
You should go somewhere else because that is a person who has a lot to
hide.
Not
enough dry fit half calf socks in the world.
I own one pair. One pair.
They're good boots.
They're great boots, man. No, they're phenomenal. I wouldn't trade it for the world. They're awesome. If you get a good pair of boots, don't ever part with them. They're amazing.
I will back something. I will say this. Man, I think Spencer would appreciate this. You get to a very grumpy phase of parenthood where you are – the idea of, like, fashion and clothing yourself is so fucking arbitrary that there's something very appealing about buying a clothing product that can last you, like, 35 years. That's right. Really enticing.
Here, I'll old man you. I'll see your old manness and I'll raise you. I don't want to buy something that might hurt my feet because I don't know.
That's a powerful counterpoint.
Yeah,
it's really
you got to buy the right kind.
God, I'm so washed.
Actually, I feel
and
like
I love
having
it.
A very young child would be a good time to break him in because, like, when you're walking the baby around in the apartment or whatever, you just wear an extra pair of socks, break him in. Break them in a controlled environment when you have to be pacing about anyway.
I think we have maybe two more good questions for Godfrey here. One.
That presupposes that other questions were good, but go ahead.
This is practical. How do I become a bagman for my rival school and then accidentally get discovered?
We've been talking about making a parlor game out of this for years.
They asked this question on our show today too.
If you want to double
up, Americans. Done.
Okay, for those who haven't seen The Americans, help us out. Like me, I haven't seen it.
You get trained by Soviet agents for about 6 to 10 years. You basically learn like Krav Maga and then a bunch of other fighting techniques. You have to learn foreign languages. You have to undergo just years of like horrible abuse and psychological reprogramming. And then you just move across the state to the ag school that you don't like and, I don't know, start handing out $20 bills.
Can we remake The Americans and call it The Arkansans?
Man.
Dibs on that. No, don't say it.
I don't know. Don't we want this to be like a high dollar thing to make it more exciting?
If only I'd been interacting with people in Los Angeles who would be receptive to such an idea for the past year.
Huh.
What's the other good question?
Life's funny.
Let's see. This one's real disturbing.
Okay.
By the way, the conclusion to that question is, what if I want them to get the death penalty? No one gets the death penalty.
No one gets the death penalty. It's impossible. It doesn't
Do you remember, have we talked about on the show how one of the NCAA penalties they used to levy was that you didn't get to play games on television?
We have talked about that.
Yeah.
God,
and that's
terrific.
It's so good to remember that there was once a time where the NCAA would consider that, and now... silence.
I believe that was didn't Auburn get that once? Because I remember there was one season where it was like Auburn was the indie band favorite.
Is that 90?
There was an SEC. I don't remember if it was Auburn or not, but there was an SEC school, and that was, I think, probably what tilted it towards.
SMU
maybe we're not going
right?
to do this.
Like,
yes, SMU correct, definitely got it.
Yeah.
So real journalism moment. I asked someone during this investigation, I was like, is it possible if they actually did the old school death penalty? And their immediate response was, we did an economic impact study, or they had seen an economic impact study of what removing one SEC team would do in terms of like violating all the contractual agreements for television. Never going to happen ever, 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 ever.
So I would point to this.
Taylor, come on home.
Yeah, no, like this. You have no incentive not to. None.
Hey, unless you're Notre Dame.
Unless you're Notre Dame, because you're only hurting yourself and the ACC, which you're a member of.
And Comcast and us.
Yeah, but you have no incentive not to, right?
You're only hurting Notre Dame and Comcast. Oof.
I'm sorry. What a decision. NBC has the Stanley Cup, but they didn't put it on their primary network. I'm not playing this game right now.
Just got Doc Emmert emptying the whole thesaurus over on the Weather Channel.
Okay, didn't realize we were putting our corporate synergy strategy in a burn barrel tonight. But fuck,
nobody's listened this far. No. See, nobody's listened this far.
This is true.
Please. The last part, and I'm just going to ask you, it's a very moving question, I think, is why do you hate Ole Miss?
Because I don't look good in pastels.